Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your motherfucking ears.
Good evening and welcome to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me tonight is the Shadow of the Colossus of Contra Games, Dan Ryan.
I hate you for how accurate that is.
Summer is almost over, and so is our summer series. Was our penultimate game worth our time? No. Guard your beans, because the Stone Age Gamer Podcast starts now. Hi, everyone. This is episode 323. It is the week of September 11th, 2020. There's a man named Beans.
I mean, just can we start with that this week and just get it out of the way?
No, I have a lot to say.
Okay.
I have a lot of thoughts, and I have
a level and a half to talk about. That's what I have.
That's about what I have of actual playthrough. I put a little bit more time into it. I took one more swing at it before getting on the show, and it's a little raw right now, so yeah. let it ruminate for a little bit more.
Okay.
Let it sit. How you doing, Dan?
Oh, man, Chris. Well, see, here's the thing. So, last week, two things happened. One, there was a very grindy but relatively fun event in Puzzle and Dragons that took up quite a bit of time to make my way through. And then Thursday evening, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 Remastered came out, and I have done nothing but that since.
That's wonderful. Tell me all about it.
It is so shockingly good looking. Like, it just half the time, like, I'd be skating around and Tiff and I are like, she's sitting on a couch with me and we're playing it. And I'm just, oh my God. Oh my God. Look at the detail in that and the reflection and the graffiti and the, oh fuck, time's up. Shit. I didn't do it. Quick combo real quick. Let me just get something in this run. It's perfect. It's perfect. It feels exactly like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Like, as soon, and I knew it was going to be good from the demo, right? Because the demo felt perfect, but every level is so perfectly recreated, and the little, like, it's not really little, but the graphical touches that they have done to it make it feel like this really incredibly vibrant and alive world. It's fucking flawless, dude. Like, I really thought that my games of the year, when we get to the award show at the end of the year, I was pretty confident that it was gonna go Ghost of Tsushima, Final Fantasy VII, and Tony Hawk's 1 and 2. And I am now not sure on that order, and not just with, like, oh, maybe flip flopping Tony Hawk and Final Fantasy, but like, this might be jumping over Ghost of Tsushima, which is completely unfair because it's a completely different type of game. But my, it is just as much fun as the original was 20 goddamn years ago. All of the new challenges, the creative park is fucking outstanding. Like, I'm working on a park right now to help get Tiff better at the game, and then I'm gonna try and make, like, a Stone Age Gamer park. Like, just all of the songs being in there is fucking awesome. Like, you're skating around and then all of a sudden Jerry Was a Race Car Driver jumps in, and then fucking it just Papa Roach. It's like, oh my God, Papa Roach was so great. Like, oh, I love it, Chris. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. If you were a fan at all of the Tony Hawk games, this is a no doubt, like, buy this immediately.
And you know what? I would if I wasn't so busy with so much else.
Sure. No, I totally get that. Like, I really do. Like, this I was, you know, because I'm trying to make my way through, because we were talking, I got derailed from playing anything because of my classes finishing up. So I'm going back to finish Ghost of Tsushima. And then, you know, I have other stuff that I want to get to. And then this came out and it's like, my God, this is all I want to do. You know, like, going in and looking at. So all the skaters have their individual challenges lined up, right? Like, different things that you can do. And then there's overall progression challenges, how you level up your skater and just different things to unlock. And I remember back in the day looking at some of the challenges that were in the game and being like, oh my God, 750,000 points in one level. You know, holy shit. And now, like, one of the challenges is get 1.5 million in one run. And I'm like, fuck, I got to practice. Shit, I haven't played this in so long. But I did jump into some online matches, and I was consistently, like, second or third. Because I happened to be in a server with one guy who was just otherworldly talented at this game. But all of the multiplayer modes from back in the day, like, instead of horse, it was skate. But, like, you would have to do a trick, and then somebody would have to match it or score higher. The tagging, like, the graffiti one, where when you trick off a certain object, like, whoever has the higher points, like, it goes to that color. All of that stuff works, like, flawlessly in online multiplayer, and there's just, you know, fucking 10, 12 avatars just skating around, no slowdown, which is apparently a thing that happens in video games back in the day. I don't know if you've ever experienced slowdown in a video game, Chris, but it's quite distracting.
In nothing I've played recently.
And some would say almost game-breaking.
Well, I mean, if it never stops, is it slowdown? Mm-hmm. So I was under the impression that there was just speed up parts, like the opposite of slowdown.
Nope. I'm not going with that. No.
It's so optimized that occasionally it can just overclock it.
Is that what they were going for? Fucking pricks.
Do you know who the programmers were?
No.
Okay. That's going to be a fun surprise for you.
Okay. I know some other things about, anyway. We'll talk about it when we get there. So yeah, like, the online multiplayer works really well. All of the different stuff that you can unlock in the shop, like, all the decks are super cool. There was just that instant wave of nostalgia of, like, I have to unlock everything. I have to unlock every deck, every trick spot, every article of clothing, every fucking ridiculous face tattoo. You know, like, just all of this shit. The creative skater mode is really, really good. Like, it's not super deep, but it doesn't have to be. You know, they did a good job of the new skaters that they added. Like, they did a good job of including, you know, women and people of color and Tony Hawk's kid, because you have to. But, like, they brought, you know, more diversity to the game. It's just, it's fucking flawless, man. It is absolutely flawless. Except one minor nitpick. Absolutely flawless, except one tiny little thing. And this, and the reason I say it that way is because this isn't going to be an issue for everybody.
They spelled Tony Hawk's name wrong. It's actually Toby Hanks Pro Skater.
Yeah, Tom Hanks Pro Skater. It's a very, very different game. What's awesome is you can unlock all of the different iconic outfits of Tom Hanks' movie career. Like, it's really nice when you get to the Philadelphia level, if you skate around as Philadelphia Tom Hanks.
Okay, let's rein that in.
Then we're getting at this danger. Anyway, so in back in the day, like, when you would play through Tony Hawk and you wanted to go through and play it with another, like, you played it as Tony Hawk and now you want to go back and play it as Kareem Campbell or Bucky Lassick or Rune Clifford or whoever, right? When you would go back in and start the game again, you would have to do all of the objectives in each level, right? So you have to get the score and the skate and the tape and all that shit. In this one, once you do it the first time, those level goals are done. So the only thing for you to go back in and do with the other skaters is to get the stat points, because you don't spend money on stat points anymore. They're just in the level. So you have to do certain things to get those, which I thought was kind of shitty. Like, that, I don't love that as a reason to go back and play through the levels again with different skaters, because I can jump in and, like, in some of the levels you can get the stat points in like 30 seconds. Like, all right, got that, jump out. You know what I mean? As opposed to naturally progressing through the game again. But that's the only complaint I have. That's it. And like I said, that's not going to bother everybody. Least I don't think it will.
Well, if the last several days have taught me anything, is you never know what's going to enrage everybody.
It's a good point, Chris. It's a very, very good point. It's just, it's crazy, man. Like, if you go on IGN, on their review for it, they have one of those slidey bits in a picture where you can, like, drag it all the way to the left and you'll see the new version. And if you drag it all the way to the right, you'll see the version from 1999. And you can kind of look at, and I don't remember it looking that bad back in the day. You know, like, it's a PlayStation 1 game, of course it looked bad, but I don't remember it being that ugly. And when you compare it to what's out now, this game is, it's absolutely stunning how gorgeous this game is.
Well, I can't tell you how happy it makes me that this is that this came out well, because this game, this particular game in this franchise was kind of, you know, really important.
Yeah, and huge.
Boy, I mean, did it circle the freaking drain for a long time.
So bad. And
the
last HD remaster that they did for PlayStation 3 and I think 360, I don't think it came out for GameCube or Wii. I could be wrong.
No, it didn't. And I don't remember people liking it very much.
Oh, God, it was awful. It was odd. It didn't feel like Tony Hawk. It just didn't play right.
That's the most important thing.
That is absolutely the most important thing. So, I don't know what the plans are for this game. You know, if they're going to, you know, I don't know if there's any fucking like DLC that they're going to have planned or whatever. But it doesn't even need it. Like, it's perfect as it is.
Well, that's wonderful. I don't have a lot to add, because I'm not a huge Tony Hawk fan. I think it's super cool. I just never got into it in the first place.
Yeah.
And it's probably not going to happen now, because I've been spending some time playing some other games.
Let's talk about that, because I'm pretty happy about the conversation that we had over the weekend.
The whole obsessive playing, that has in this last week become me with Hollow Knight.
Yes.
I cannot put it down. I'm not using a guide. I just kind of found where I was supposed to be going while trying to match up with a guide.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've just been exploring and figuring it out. Now I have a better grasp on the world. I have a few extra moves, and I am just digging in. I still hate the map system.
It's the worst thing I've ever seen in a video game.
I hate it. Because
it's terrible.
I'll just get to this point where I keep making these, you have all these options. Which way are you going to go? You're going to take this path or the other path? So I keep choosing paths. And then I keep going for like an hour and I don't run into a bench. And if I don't run into a bench or the map selling guy, then I have no idea where I am the next time I die. Other than just
recognizing. And how the hell do you get back there? And yeah,
exactly. It bothers me so much, and I kind of get what they were going for, but then there should have been a lot more benches.
A lot more. Yeah.
I shouldn't have to go to a specific spot. I shouldn't have to sit down specifically on a bench to pull out my quill and fill in my map. Right. Can I not just sit on the ground?
Yeah.
Like I would understand if, because the whole thing with pausing in this game, where you're going through your menu, you're looking at your map, like the things are still happening in the background. You can't just do that at all times. If there's a bunch of monsters attacking you and you want to look at your map, you're going to get beat up by the monsters because they're not going to stop attacking you. So just make that the map system. You have to draw the map and it'll automatically draw wherever you've been, but you got to clear a room and be in a safe spot so you can sit down just like the map maker does and fill in the rest of your map.
Yeah,
I'd be fine with that. I would like it most if it just went like every other Metroidvania, so Super Metroid, and just fill in the map automatically as you go from point A to point B. But if
it was rectangular and not all fucking weird looking,
I kind of dig the weird looking. I'm okay with that. Yeah, I like how I've kind of learned how these weird bulbous spots on the map, like, oh, this has jiggly lines. That means I probably can't touch the floor there.
Right.
Like, so it's, I kind of dig that weirdness. I like the vagueness of the map. Like, I don't have a problem with that, needing to really fill in the blanks. It's like, because it reminds me a lot of the Super Metroid map or the Symphony of the Night map, where it's like, I can kind of figure out what this means, but I like how it looks like, this looks like a map that I would have drawn in a notebook. And I just wish I could draw in that notebook at all times. That
that's the biggest complaint with it, because as you are about to say, that aside, it's haunting.
It's great. It's filling me with all of that. You know, last night I didn't get to bed on time because I was like, all right, I'll just get to the next bench. And then I got to one. I was like, well, now I'm in a new area. Well, let's see what's over here.
And, I got to go explore a little bit more.
Yeah, let me just poke around and see what's over here or what's over here. Because it's really interesting to find out what you're going to run into next. And I don't understand the story or the mythology in the least. And I keep running into characters and things that I feel like I'm supposed to do something with. But it's just like, and this dude's just spouting some gibberish about some king or something. All right.
It gets more filled in as you go through. It does, like, it's still, even having played through the game and some of, like, the DLC stuff that's come after it, there's still sort of, like you said, like, that intentional vagueness.
Yeah, that's it wasn't a complaint at all.
Yeah.
I find it fascinating. It's just, you never know if you're going to walk into a room, and if something doesn't overtly attack you, you don't know if it's a friend or a foe. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I've walked into countless situations where a creature will show up, and I'll walk up to it to try to talk to it, and then it punches me in the face. Well, damn it. Guess I'm killing this thing now.
Have you made it to down to the very bottom, like the cavern stuff at the bottom? I forget what it's called. We're all like the fucking... they look like grub worms are like at the bottom, and you can hear them like crunching their teeth together. That part's super dark, and it's like,
I did. I did make it there. That was creepy.
Yeah, like
I'm trying to picture them in my head right now. What was that?
The visuals in that game are just
that
so
was yesterday.
Stunning.
Today I made it to the place that's all the way down the bottom right.
Oh, like the forgotten
something's end, the
queen's end or king's end,
whatever it was described as, like, this is the farthest reaches of whatever. Oh, this is gonna bother me. Let me see
The hollow nest. That's what the bottom bit is called.
Kingdom's edge.
Yeah.
Yes, the place you're talking about is the ancient basin. Yes.
Yes.
I went to the ancient basin and I dealt with those things. It looks like I've been to everywhere now. Nope, I haven't been to the Hive yet. I've been everywhere else at least once.
The Hive is fucking... The Hive is also super creepy.
Like, I just went through Kingdom's Edge. I just went through the Royal Waterways. I just made my way back through the City of Tears to upgrade my sword, because I found one of those ore pieces. So I got that upgrade. And
yes.
I fought in the Colosseum. I looked up what the rewards were for fighting in the Colosseum.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm going to do the first one, and then I'm going to stop. Because that first one took a while. Like, not like I died once, but it took... It kept going, man.
kept bringing
more things out. And I was like, okay, and I'm doing really well, and I'm kicking its ass. And then I got almost to the very end of it, which I the two giant... grub-looking flying things that would pound up and down, they killed me. And those were the last two things. And I got that all the way to them on my first try. And I was like, man, how much freaking longer is this thing? And then I went back again. And it was like, oh, it's that long. Oh,
it's
well,
that
damn it, then.
It's exactly this long.
Well, I was right freaking there, son of a
bitch. And like those boss battles are so well done. Like, because they're hard.
They are. They're hard.
Not
what was that
unfair.
Guy? The floating... It was like the wizard-looking dude, right? There were those big fat things that would float around and shoot fireballs at you, and those pissed me the hell off.
I don't know names of shit at
the
all.
King, one of those guys.
Yeah.
And I got to him, and I was like, I'm going to kill this chump, because I figured out his pattern super fast. Like, I'm going to beat this guy. But then I kept dying because I kept messing up. Because even though I knew what he was going to do, I just couldn't execute what I was trying to do, which was pissing me off. And then I beat him and he started exploding. And then he was like, nope, never mind. Pounded through the ground. And I had to fight him again. I was like, well, son of a bitch. It threw me all off guard. And then I died and had to do that a couple of times before I figured that one out. But yeah, the boss battles in this are just so freaking cool.
They're just, they're so fun. Like, as frustrating and as challenging as they are, they're just so goddamn well done that you're like, all right. I mean, I'm going to keep at it. I'm going to keep going.
It's really how I feel about just about everything about the game. Is it's just so well done that it overcomes the frustrations. It's the beginning of the game that's really problematic, because all that stuff at the beginning is like when I just got lost and couldn't figure out what to do next. And
yeah,
the difficulty curve and how you traverse this game is really its problem. And it really bums me out that I spent so long not doing this. And I'm so glad I finally got to the point where it clicked, because I knew it would. I knew this game would make sense to me and it would work for me if I eventually just was able to break through. And I thought I was going to have to use a guide. And Now I get it, and it clicked, and it works, and this game is absolutely amazing, and I'm just obsessing over it. I just want to pick it up and play it every chance that I get until I'm done.
And I, like, it was breaking my heart, because I knew that once it clicked, like, this is the type of game where, like, you and I are old-ass men at this point, and our, you know, our list of favorite games of all time is pretty set in stone. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot to challenge that list. This is one that challenges that list. It's that good.
Yeah, it's definitely definitely an unforgettable experience. And when I think back to how many of those I've had on the Switch, I keep having this conversation with myself of like, at what point is the Switch going to overtake the Super Nintendo as my favorite game system, right? And with so many of my favorite Super Nintendo games fully playable on the Switch, it kind of already has, but at the same time, like, I can't remove that nostalgia and what it was like playing those games for the first time.
Sure.
But I've had so many just crazy experiences on the Switch, from Breath of the Wild to, you know, the Blaster Master sequels, The Messenger, Celeste, Sayonara Wild Hearts, Mario Odyssey, that I've still played Animal Crossing every day except for that one because I thought I already played it. Like,
yeah,
I've had,
and it's not stopping. It's not stopping.
I've missed so many so far. Right?
Yeah.
I haven't touched Luigi's Mansion 3, which I really want. I haven't touched Dragon Quest 11. There's so much that I've missed, and there's still so much coming that I'm super excited about. Which we'll get to that in a little bit. But this is one of those games that's just going to stick with me. And I know it's like other things like The Messenger. It's available on other platforms, but it's, you know, it's still on the Switch and it's part of my Switch experience. And
yeah,
I probably wouldn't have played this game otherwise because, you know, I'm taking this to bed with me and mucking around before I go to sleep. It's that inherent nature that makes games so much more playable to me. And I just love that this has worked out the way that it has.
So, yeah,
Hollow Knight is amazing.
I could not be happier that you are fine. And you were saying too, like, your kids are getting into it now too, and like,
oh yeah, they love watching me play this game,
right? Because like,
Ellie loves how creepy it is, and John keeps wanting to go back. He keeps wanting me to pause it and go into the list of all the monsters I fought, and then he asked me to rank them. What was this kind of cool? Which was the hardest one you fought so far? What's your favorite one you fought so far? I was like, I don't fucking know. I've run into like 500,000 bugs, and every sixth one looks exactly the same, except it's bigger.
Bigger. It has two horns or three horns instead of one horn. Yeah, like, and that's what I was saying. Like, I don't know if you remember us talking about it back in the day, but it has this weird hold over children.
Like, I just think it's the art. I think it's
how the art and the bugs and like the sound of it and just,
oh my god, the sound design is just ridiculous in this game. It's because, you know, I'll get into a room and we, like earlier today, I'm running through and John's like, "Look, paper, the map guy's here." Because there's a trail of paper whenever you're trailing a new area and you know you're getting close to the map guy. And then you open up a room and you hear...
You want to, like, if you want a really awesome experience with Hollow Knight. Like, if you have a good pair of headphones, play that game with a good pair of headphones.
Is pretty wild.
It is not like I would plug, and the headphones I have aren't even a great pair. Like, just Amazon Basics are a pretty good pair of headphones. Mm-hmm. And like plugging that into the PlayStation controller and sitting there, it's one of my favorite things about the PlayStation controller is that I can just plug the headphones right in there and get the sound instead of having a fucking cord that stretches all the way across the room.
Yeah.
But like doing that and playing that game, the echoes and the little droplets of water that just, oh my God, it's fucking incredible playing through that game that way.
Yeah, this game and handheld with headphones is freaking wild.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Man, I was going to say something. I totally forgot what it was. Well, it doesn't matter. Hollow Knight rules, and I can't wait to finish it.
And then play Silksong.
Yeah. Right. Sure. Maybe when I'm 50, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm sure that game will come out someday.
It's going to.
I mean, how long have we been waiting on Silksong?
They announced it a year and a half ago.
That's a long time. Man,
because it was originally, but it was originally just going to be DLC for Hollow Knight.
Yeah, and they expanded the heck out of it.
And they expanded it to a full game. Yeah. So, and there's like four people that work at Team Cherry. That's, I think, the other thing that's so incredible is that that team legitimately is less than 10 people.
And that's awesome because they really knocked it out of the park with this one.
They did.
Spectacular game.
It is a stunning achievement for a team so fucking small.
I just wish it didn't take me so much effort to get into it in the first place.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It has a very narrow window that you have to squeeze through, but once you do,
it's great. It's an unforgettable game. I'll tell you what else has been unforgettable so far, and that has been Labo VR.
So for John's birthday, Labo VR was given.
Yes, finally, the long saga of me getting Labo VR.
Labo VR is over.
So we finally gave it to him, and we've only built one of the things so far.
Okay.
He's just good. He's just
good. No, I'm done now. We're good. This is all I needed.
I keep having to tell him to stop because I'm like, okay, don't play this for hours at a time, okay? But this is... You're still sticking a switch 2 inches from your face and playing a game that's probably not great for your eyes.
Yeah, probably not.
So I'm limiting him to like a half hour, 45 minutes, and then he has to take like a 15, 20 minute break before he can jump back in. So it is pretty crazy. It's still kind of weird that it actually kind of works. Like, you got to make sure your screen is clean.
Yeah, sure.
If it's not, then it's going to look really funky, and it's not the greatest looking VR. I've played PlayStation VR. This is not PSVR, not by a freaking long shot, but it does work. It's functioning VR in a fairly low resolution for VR, but it is a thing that actually works. I can't believe how well it does.
That's crazy.
And so it's just, we started it and it was just him playing on the menu screen because the menu screen is just this open area with this little stick figure dude who comes out. And you press different buttons, and it makes him do different things, like jump up and down and blow up a balloon or throw a ball. And it's like, that's just that in VR, and it's neat. So he was just going at that for a while. And then we built the camera, which he's just absolutely in love with the camera. He thinks cameras are really cool to begin with. So the VR camera is like, you slide the screen in to... All right, so you build this camera that you have to hold like a professional camera. You know, when you hold like with one hand underneath the scope of the camera, and then the other hand holds where you click the button. So that's how you have to hold this, right? So that's got the switch system inside this bit that you look into that connects to the VR goggles, right? And you hold it up to your face like you're holding a camera, and you twist the lens, you know, to zoom in and out. And then it's all, or the rest of it's just all motion control, and you press the L button on the trigger to take pictures, and it just drops you into the ocean. And then you just look around and move around and take pictures of fish, and it's amazing. Like, there's nothing to it, but it's like, it's nuts, like, because they're just swimming all around you. It's the kind of simple, bite-sized VR that I'm most interested in, because I am... even with, like, I know I can plug this in and play Breath of the Wild. I don't want to. I don't want to play long-term games in virtual reality. I just don't. But
it's just not your thing.
It's just not my thing. Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just not my thing. This is my thing. Neat tricks with VR.
Right.
And I'm really excited to build the rest of this stuff, but he's just been in on those two things. Like, all in on those two things.
That's awesome.
The next thing he wants to build is the bird, but we just haven't gotten around to it yet. We've been doing
that bird
other
looks
stuff.
So cool.
It's so weird. You have to look into a bird's butt, but I'm still into it.
I mean, whatever.
I'm still totally into it.
Right up a bird's cloaca.
We also got him one of the Mario Kart Hot Wheels sets. He loves Bowser and Bowser's Castle stuff, and especially in Mario Kart Bowser's Castle courses. And then, like, a few days before his birthday, we found out that there is a Bowser's Castle Hot Wheels set.
Yeah.
So you wind it up, and his arms go up and down, and you have to try to race characters to get past him. So we got him that. He's been playing with that a whole lot.
Nice.
So that's just been awesome. And continuing our Mario extravaganza, we're still on Yoshi's Island. We're plugging away at that. He just walks into a room and says, can we play some more Yoshi's Island? Sure. Absolutely. So we're starting world three. I'm really taking my time with it because of the things we learned in the Nintendo Direct, I'll start talking about in a moment, but
yes, Yoshi's Island. I have some questions about that.
Hopefully I have some answers, but I really can't stress enough how amazing Yoshi's Island is. Just how incredibly well designed that game is. Every time I play through it, which I played through it once when it first showed up on the Super Nintendo on the Switch, which it was the first time I really played through the game to conclusion in a long, long time. And then I was blown away by it. And here I am just a few months later playing it again, and I'm still just constantly amazed at how clever and well thought out this game is. It's ridiculous. Such a good game. So, yay for that. And the game after that is Super Mario 64, which just so happens to be coming to Nintendo Switch. So let's break this down piece by piece, okay?
Okay.
There was a Super Mario Brothers 35th Anniversary Nintendo Direct dropped, which obviously
surprisingly
just drops out of nowhere because that's how Nintendo's doing things now. They're not even giving us warning anymore. They're just like,
no.
And here.
Here
don't
you
tune
go.
In at this time, just plop, here it is. And what's fun is there's been a couple of things popped up that seems to point to this was supposed to happen 4 months ago. I think there was on the Mario Maker page, something was put up for like starting in April and then ending a few months, like a month from now or something. And like, oh, so this was all supposed to probably happen months ago. And then, you know,
and then COVID fucked everything up.
The world happened.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, super happy right off the bat. And after watching it, also super happy guy. I'm very happy with most of what they showed here. The first thing they showed was here's a classic way to play Super Mario Brothers. And like, it's the whole HD Nintendo Direct presentation, but there's this really shitty looking image of Super Mario Brothers, and I'm like,
yeah.
What am I looking at here? And then they zoom out, and it's a Game & Watch, right? It's a Game & Watch that they added a D-pad to.
Yeah.
That's designed to look like the Game & Watch ball, except it plays Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers The Lost Levels.
Which is cool.
Kinda?
Not necessary, but it's cool.
Here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Super Mario Brothers Game & Watch that's shaped like this. Why ball? Why are we going? Why are we taking a Game & Watch that has nothing to do with Mario and shoving an NES game into it?
Like, because of the color scheme of that one? Like, well,
I mean, I guess it's got the Famicom.
Because that one's the Famicom colors.
But there's
that's the only thing I can think
of. Super Mario Brothers Game & Watch. What
no,
the
I
hell,
know.
Man?
I know. If I had to guess, it would be because it was the Famicom colors.
And even then, if we were going to go ahead and say, okay, all right, I get this. we really like this Famicom color scheme. Sure. So let's shove these two NES games in there and go to town. And also we're going to put Ball in there, but we're not going to include any of the actual Mario Game & Watch games.
Yeah, that's a little Nintendo just being Nintendo.
I was just
which. We're also going to discuss that in a couple minutes when we get
sure
to the other
are.
Thing.
When we get to that, I'm not buying this thing. If I was younger, maybe I'd throw $50 at having this absurdity. But this is like those ornaments that Hallmark just came out with, where they got this NES. It's like, okay, that's cool, but that's not what the Super Mario Brothers cart looks like.
But you it plays it up, the Sega Genesis startup sound. Like, oh shit, what are you doing?
You were this close.
And the price is really gonna make or break that thing, right? Because
it's $50. Who wants to spend $50 to play
it
Super
is 50
Mario?
Bucks?
Yeah, it's $50.
Oh, fuck you! No,
that's insane.
Like ten, maybe.
I mean, because it's a Game & Watch, I guess I could see as high as 20. I'm not paying as high as 20. I'm just saying I could understand that. But this is a little doodad that just plays Super Mario Brothers and is a what?
And you know what? You better buy one and then resell it for quadruple the price like 2 days later. Because you know it's going to sell out. Like, we're sitting here like, oh, what's...
Oh, I'm sure it is, but that is a young man's game, and I am not... No, I'm not playing that. This as soon as this came, I was like, huh, that's neat. And then, like, all the details drive me crazy, so I'm not going to buy it, but I still think it's neat.
It is neat.
Sure, that's neat. Available on November 13th for the weird Mario version of Ball. Okay. After that, Super Mario 3D World coming to the Switch. That's wonderful. Super Mario 3D World is amazing. It is one of the best Mario games. It's so good, and I'm so glad it's no longer trapped on Wii U. Because even though so few people had Wii U, this game was still an incredible success for that platform.
Right.
And I sincerely hope that it does gangbusters on Switch, because it deserves to. This game is great, and I'm so excited to not have to play it on my Wii U anymore. No, no offense to the Wii U. I'll always love that console, and... I had a ball playing through this game on it, but man, playing this game on Switch is going to be great. It looks really nice. I haven't watched the analyses on it, but I have apparently done a few touch-ups here and there on the game. And they also may have added some new moves. There's a whole something called a Bowser's Fury.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows what that is, but it looks really interesting. It's coming out in February, which I can't imagine was the original plan. Like, that's got to be a delay.
Yeah, and that's the thing that sucks about this. There's so many things that this was going to be like the summer of Mario, probably.
Probably, yeah.
You know, and now it's going to be the, like, I don't know, the, like, stretched out couple of fall months of Mario. And it's unfortunate, you know.
Here's another thing. Apparently this game features online multiplayer.
Yeah.
But they didn't mention that during the Nintendo Direct.
Because why would they?
There's online multiplayer, and there's two amiibo coming out for this, and they just didn't mention that during the Direct. There's a Cat Mario and Cat Peach amiibo coming out. I have no use for them, but I might buy them for my kids, because John loves Cat Mario, and Ellie loves Cat Peach, so, okay.
There you go.
It's kind of perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one. This was a freaking home run, man. Almost. This was a home run, but not a grand slam, and you know exactly why. Super Mario Brothers 35 was the next thing that showed up, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a phenomenal idea. This is taking the Tetris 99 formula and applying it to Super Mario Brothers. This is great, and it is free to anybody who has the Nintendo Switch Online, just like Tetris 99 was.
Which is awesome.
The part that kind of sucks... And not really kind of sucks is that it's playable until March 31st, 2021.
Doesn't not make any fucking sense.
Only available for this amount of time. They're good. You can't play it after that period of time.
Doesn't make any fucking sense at all.
The only way this makes sense is if there's something that happens after this. Like, if there is a different version of this that comes after this. On April 1st, they release Super Mario Brothers 35 that costs $10 or some shit like that.
Yeah.
That's the only way this makes sense.
It really is. It's such a weird decision without knowing anything else about it. It's a weird decision.
Now, this
in the
isn't
abstract.
Entirely unprecedented for Nintendo. Like,
no.
The fact that it's only playable until that date, that's new. But they've done weirdo releases like this before that I don't hear people talking about much. Like, there was a Four Swords Anniversary Edition for 3DS that was only available, only digitally available for a short period of time. And if you didn't get it, then you can't get it anymore because it doesn't exist.
Right.
You either got it or you didn't. The Club Nintendo Doc Lewis's Punch-Out. They've done these like really weird exclusive limited events before. Never on this scale. This Super Mario Brothers 35 is going to be freaking huge, right?
Oh, it's going to be massive.
Those other ones were not huge, right? Those were like a DSi thing and a WiiWare thing. This is everybody who has Nintendo Switch Online, which is a whopping $20 a year,
right?
Like that's nothing.
That's nothing.
Like there's a massive audience that's going to play this game and it's going to be really upset when they can't play it anymore after March 31st.
Yeah.
I'm struggling to see the wisdom in this other than the whole Nintendo trying to come up with ways to curate what they do. You know what? I take it back. They have done this before, the Satellaview. Super Nintendo Satellaview. Those Zelda games that were only on the Satellaview and only through broadcast. And they're only playable now through like some sort of modifications and emulations because they were meant to be played with a live broadcast, you know?
Right.
So yeah, they have done something like this before. And I get the want behind that, right? They want to create this sort of live experience. Like this is a thing that like appointment TV, they want to create something like that because there is a certain degree of excitement connected to stuff like that. The problem is that
knowing that it's going to go well, I have to play it now.
I have to play it during this period of time because this is where this is when everyone's going to be playing it, right? But the reason is because then it's going to go away, then nobody can play it afterwards. And what's bothering it's like TV used to be that way. I have to catch this because if I don't, then I'm going to have to try and catch it on a rerun. Who the hell knows when that's going to be? But then TV shows on DVD happened, right?
Right.
So this
or you were taping it.
Exactly. You're recording it on VCR or DVRs happened. Like the fact of the matter is that there's so much more stuff going on in people's lives than just this thing. Now, granted, this is a long period of time. This is October 1st through March. Like everyone's going to have a chance to play it. What bothers me is that theoretically they're not going to have a chance to play it after March, which is like, that's insane. What about all the people that are getting Switches for Christmas?
Yeah.
They're going to have 3 months to play this game. And granted, 3 months is probably more than enough for most people. But I want to be able to go back to this. Like, this is like Tetris 99. This is going to be fun forever. So why have it be so limited?
It feels like a weird step backwards.
It does. It's, again, we don't know. This could be a massive success and they could be like, well, then now we're going to charge for it and it's going to be Super Mario 36. who knows what they're going to do, right? But as of right now, what it looks like is this is such an awesome idea. I can't wait to play this. It looks like so much fun.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
But it's just got that little twinge in the back of my head like, that's not cool, man.
No,
I kind of understand it, but I also don't really agree with it.
Yeah. I mean, because like when you look at other examples of that sort of thing, like Splatfests in Splatoon are events, but I can still play Splatoon when I'm done. You know, like I can still play the game.
Yeah,
the you know, there was just this extra thing.
Yeah,
that I got to do. Like as opposed to, I just now again, nobody is paying for this game. They are just giving it to you. So there's a certain that takes away some of that ammunition of like, but I paid for this. Well, no, you didn't. You know, like it's a free thing that they're giving, but still, it's weird.
It is weird. And you know what? I'd pay for it. I really would.
Like, yeah, I think a lot of people would.
And granted, people are technically paying for it. It's part of Nintendo Switch Online.
Sure.
You have to have that to get this. It was the same thing with Tetris 99. But then they did eventually start selling Tetris 99 to people who don't have online subscriptions, which is insane because to get what you actually... To get the good stuff out of Tetris 99, the point of Tetris 99 is to play against 98 other people online. But
yeah.
Anyway, the next thing in this thing was pure, unadulterated magic.
And it's either going to be the greatest thing ever or it's not going to work at all.
And from what I've come to understand for the few people who talked about it and the people who filmed the commercial, it does in fact work. And really, I can't imagine it not working. It doesn't seem all that complicated. It's just insane. If you haven't watched this already, this is Mario Kart Live Home Circuit. Comes out in October, and it's a game for the Switch. And it comes with a physical remote-controlled Mario Kart car with a camera built in. And then you somehow, you know, map whatever your course is. And it creates that course in your house, and then you drive around, and the camera on the cart sees your house, but it also superimposes the other racers and the course for you to drive around on.
And, like, question blocks and
and items things. And stuff. Yeah. And, like, so if you get hit by a red shell, your car is going to stop for a second before it can ride again, just like in Mario Kart. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. And there's a second player option. I think it can handle four players, but there's only two carts at first.
Yeah.
There's a Mario and a Luigi. So you'd be like two Marios and two Luigis or something, whatever. But this is Toys to Life and AR done in a way that I've never imagined and is so cool. I showed this to John and he turned to me just midway like, I really want this. And it's like, now, I know, John, I do, too.
Do you have an area in your house that you can actually set it up?
I have a couple areas in my house.
That's going to be the thing that is going to kill it for some people through no fault of their own. It's just the floor plan of their house, like where their parents put their furniture.
A couple of areas in my house that'll work. I'm hoping it'll work just kind of around the circle in my, because I have, you know, kitchen, dining room, living room, foyer or whatever, just like I had when I was a kid. We lived in a small townhouse, but it was just like that kind of circle pattern, right? There's one wall in the middle that separates your living room from your kitchen and all that other jazz. So I'm hoping that it'll be able to work in that sort of a situation. If not, I have my basement. I definitely have places in my house that this will work. Like, without a doubt, there's plenty of options for us to create courses and stuff on here. This is an absolute must buy. I don't think it's probably a day one purchase, but not like, this is probably Christmas present material right here.
Oh, sure.
Cause they're $100, which
is pricey, but not crazy.
Not crazy. Cause it's the game and the RC car for $100. So like, so a game $60. So really it's a pretty decent deal, all things considered, which is, you know, considering like what some of the Lego kits cost and whatnot. It's like,
sure.
This seems like a very reasonable price for something that could probably go for closer to like 150 because it's Mario Kart. So it's $100. That's a pretty solid play. I am into this. I am totally going to buy the Mario and maybe the Luigi. Like, it depends on what our budget's like at this time.
Sure.
Like, then you can buy these little add-on kits that create the cardboard archways and stuff that they can drive through. There's so much interesting stuff here. I can't wait to learn more about it. Like, obviously there's a whole lot we don't know yet.
Sure.
But what I saw was pure magic. I felt like a little kid watching this video. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
I really want this to work. I really want it to be great. I think it is an amazing idea. I feel really bad for the people whose houses it's just not going to work in.
As do I.
Because, you know, think back to some of the apartments you and I have lived in, you know, over the years and whatnot, and like certain things where there could have been situations where it could work, but it might not have been very fun. You know, like, I'm not spending $100 to drive this cart around in a circle. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But I'm thinking of the hallway of justice, right? That's the smallest place I ever lived.
Right.
I could very well have set this up in my bedroom to run out of the bedroom into the hall, do a loop in the kitchen, and then, you know, double back down the same hall back into a loop into my bedroom. Like, I think there's pretty much a good opportunity for this to work in a lot of situations.
There is. There
is. It's just going to take some creativity. What I want to know is if this game, because I know this game will control your cart when it gets hit by a shell, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how much the game is going to control the cart when it's going off course. Like, if it's going to treat that just like in a Mario Kart game, like if you're trying to drive it off course, if it's just going to stop like it's hitting an invisible wall. Because that would be a really good way to keep this thing in check, right? Because if you just start driving it around the house like an RC car freestyle, then how are you ever going to get back on the track again? How is the game going to react to that? But if it's, we already know that the Switch has a lot of control over what the car is capable of doing. Like if you use a mushroom, it's going to speed up the car, you know, those kinds of things. So I'm wondering if it's going to...
Man, I hope it works.
I really hope it does too.
And it sounds like a really big ask, you know, like it really does.
It does. But at the same time, like, does it, like, does it seem like that's so hard for it to do? Like,
I mean, I don't know. It does to me.
I just thinking about the logistics of it. Like you can tell an RC car to do all kinds of things. So like if it just has this built in, it's already reading the environment to do all these other things. I feel like it's got to work. It seems like it's simple yet incredibly complex at the same time. I'm fascinated. I can't wait to mess with it. It is
a crazy bastard idea, and I do love it. Like I really, really, honestly, that was the thing that I was the most apprehensive about, and also the most excited about.
Yeah, that thing's crazy. I'm just head over heels in love with it.
It's also really going to depend on the size of the cars as well, because they looked substantial, like in the trailer.
About the size, like, all right, I'm looking at the trailer right here. I'm trying to get a good picture of something for scale here. I'm seeing all these pictures of the in-game. Oh no, they're not that big. Like, I'm looking at here, I'm going to send you this shot that I just froze here from the trailer.
Yeah, please.
They look smaller than a bunch of these, the other RC cars that that John has, or RC trucks, because, you know, trucks.
Yeah.
And I'm putting it in the SAG chat.
Because, you know, trucks.
Monster trucks and whatnot. All right. Yeah. So, there, I just loaded this picture into the SAG chat, and you can see it's not... Because those aren't giant children. That's
yeah. I mean,
it's a
that's
decently
still,
small car.
It's still a little bigger than I would think would be. I don't know.
Yeah, this looks beefy enough to be like a solid thing that's not just going to fall apart like the chintzy little RC cars that you get for $5. But it also looks small enough that it's going to open up opportunities in smaller houses, you know, for places for you to play in.
Yeah, and that's really, like I said, that is my main concern of, you know, people just not being able to play this because of the layout of their place.
Mm-hmm.
Because the car is too big or whatever. Like, I can't make this turn, goddammit, because I got to go around the fucking dining room table.
I hope it drives well on carpet.
That's another thing, too, like that transition between carpet and, like, hardwood or tile.
Now, if it like, can mine is drive all, well on...
My house is all, like, hardwood, because, like, we're middle-class white people, so we have hardwood floors. But, yeah, like, that transition onto carpet that some people, like, you're going from the tile or the linoleum in your kitchen to the carpet of your living room, some RC cars do not do well with that at all.
They don't. Now, if these do, that's a really cool addition to, like, terrain changes as you're driving, right? That's awesome.
That could be really cool. Like I'm thinking it would be just based on the physicality of like an RC car though. Like it's going to be difficult if you have a higher pile carpet, you know, if you're going over Berber or some shit like that, cause now we're adults and we can talk about these kinds of things. Like if you're going over a low pile or Berber carpet, it's probably going to be a little easier to make that transition. versus like you're not driving over a shag rug with it probably because it's going to get all fucking caught in the wheels and shit. But who the hell even has shag carpets anymore?
Who the hell knows? So yeah, Mario Kart Live Home Circuit, giant thumbs up from me.
Yeah, I want it to be awesome.
Such a cool thing. All right, then you get a bunch of small announcements. There's going to be a pin set that you can win. Mario Kart Tour is getting some classic characters.
Gross.
Who cares? Shirts and stuff at the Nintendo World Store. There's going to be a new Splatfest, Mario-themed Splatfest, which is great. The Super Mushroom?
Yeah, I thought that was super cool, but also, like, you guys better be working on Splatoon 3.
Oh,
just
I'm
putting
sure
that out there.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure it's a little ways away, because...
Yeah.
Splatoon 2 is the platform for the Switch. I'm sure there'll be a Splatoon 3 with the next platform. I just don't feel like that game needs a sequel on Switch at this point.
I don't know, man. I disagree. But
it would be neat, but I mean, how many more... I guess it really depends on how many more years the Switch actually has in it before there's a new system, right?
That's what I'm saying, because like Splatoon came out like at the beginning.
Yeah.
That was 3 years ago?
Yeah, but then it was supported for like supported with new content for like a solid year, and
so now it's time for another one.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't mind waiting a couple of years between sequels, but
yeah.
So let's see. There's the pin set. There's the Splatfest. There's a special ninja speed run and Mario Maker.
That looked pretty cool.
The Nintendo Versus Challenge Cup for Smash Brothers Ultimate. A bunch of some weird ass looking clothes. Animal Crossing furniture's coming to Mario themed Animal Crossing furniture is coming about damn time. There's new Mario toys from Jack's Pacific. And then they dropped Super Mario All Stars. The original Super Mario All Stars is on the Super Nintendo app for your Switch. Just shadow drop that, available that day, which is great because, yes, we technically already had Mario 1, 2, 3 in the Lost Levels, but the Super Mario All-Stars versions are kind of different animals. They're the same games, but they're these weird-ass remakes for Super Nintendo, and I freaking love them. So it's also the only viable way to play the Lost Levels. It's the only enjoyable way to play that shitty game.
And that's going to be part of my question after you get to the final piece of news.
Indeed. I also say that if you are one of those crazy people like me that has a Japanese account, it's really cool to play the Japanese version of Mario All-Stars, which I've never done before. The games are all the same, but the title screens are all different, and it's neat to see that.
Right.
Also, the chatter. You know, I don't know if you've played Mario All-Stars for more than a couple of seconds. I know it's not really your thing, but when you turn on Super Mario All-Stars, there's like everyone's in the shadows, and you hear all this talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lights turn on and the talking stops. It's a really weird intro, but it's like Bowser and Mario and Luigi and a Birdo, a princess all standing around chatting.
Like in a movie theater or...
Yeah, kind of. It's
a
weird.
stage show.
Standing there. And then the lights turn on and they stop talking and the lights turn off and they start animating and talking again. It's really weird. The talking is... It's a different recording of background chatter for the Japanese game.
Hmm.
Like, you couldn't have convinced me that they were speaking English in the first game. Like, sure. It just sounded like random chatter noises, but there is a legit different recording of background chatter for the Japanese game, which is
seems like a waste
weird.
Of money, gotta be honest.
It's a little strange, but okay.
All right.
And then that was followed up with the big announcement of Super Mario 3D All-Stars, which is Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine, and Super Mario Galaxy all in one pack for the Switch, which is crazy to me because that's something that Nintendo just doesn't do anymore.
No,
they don't bundle bunches of games anymore. I think the last time they did that was friggin' Metroid Prime Trilogy. They just don't do this. So
certainly not for things that would sell individually.
Yeah, certainly not. So I mean, I'm over the moon for this because number one, the timing of Super Mario 64 being the next game that John and I have to play for our Mario extravaganza coming out in like a week and a half.
Yeah.
Like, this comes out next Friday, so that's perfect timing. Like, if there's even any gap in between Yoshi's Island and this, then we'll just play some Super Mario All-Stars in between to show off all the weird differences there.
Right.
So the timing of that is perfect. This is the first time Sunshine's ever been re-released. This is the prettiest Super Mario 64 has ever looked outside of hacking. And I've always dreamt of playing Mario Galaxy in HD, and it looks stunning. I am very excited to play these games. I'm very excited to play them again because I haven't played... I haven't played through to conclusion any of these games since their launches. I haven't beaten Mario 64 since Mario 64 came out on N64.
Which seems crazy to me that you have not done that.
I loved the game, but I don't love 3D Mario the way I love 2D Mario. And every time I've started to play through Mario 64, I've gone through a chunk of it. I've put hours into the game since it launched, but never enough to make it all the way through to the end of the game again.
Right.
So I'm pretty excited to have a real excuse to sit down and do that, especially on the Switch, because, like I said, when I was playing Ocarina of Time on Wii U Virtual Console, I have some issues with the way it does the analog stick on that, and I'm hoping that doesn't carry over to this version as well, although it seems that a lot of effort was put into making this the best-looking version of Super Mario 64 that's still Super Mario 64, which seems to be a major point of contention with the malcontents on the internet, that Super Mario 64 was apparently supposed to be a full-on remake and... or at the very least, running in widescreen. And I will agree with them that they should have made it run in widescreen. They did it to Sunshine. I'm kind of sad they didn't do it to Mario 64. But that said, what it appears that they were going for here is to create the best possible versions of playing what appears to be the original versions of these games. And I appreciate that.
Which is important.
I do. I think it's important. Like, yes, remakes would be... very cool. Well, remake. I mean, I don't think Sunshine really needs remaking. It needs retooling, but there's nothing wrong with the way Sunshine and especially Galaxy look.
Right. They're it not needs remastering.
Yeah. Yeah, which what these effectively are. These are remasters. They have touched up the textures. They've, you know, added, put Sunshine in widescreen. They've remastered these games. Not to the extent that other things have been remastered in the past, but still... it is what it is, and $60 for these three games is a great value to me. I look at that and say, no question. I will absolutely get $60 worth of joy. I would get $60 worth of joy out of playing Mario Galaxy in HD, because that game's incredible. And playing it, you know, booting it up on the Wii U through the HDMI cable, it's still like, it still looks great, but it still doesn't look very good. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, the art direction carries it, but it can only carry it so far because it's still a standard definition game.
Right.
Just watching the bits of the trailer being like, oh, clarity, it looks so good.
Oh, I can actually see it now.
Now, I do take an issue with them calling this Super Mario 3D All-Stars because... mm-hmm. Now, granted, getting on Nintendo's case for naming things is like...
yeah, that's...
New Super Mario Brothers U! Like, okay.
All right, they're Nintendo.
You're just bad at this. You're just bad at this. But calling this 3D All-Stars when, like... So All-Stars remade the games. Like, that was what Super Mario All-Stars was. It was full-on remakes of 1, 2, 3, and Lost Levels. This is not that. This is prettied-up remasters. And... That's not the same thing. So calling it 3D All-Stars is a little bit of a misnomer.
Sure.
Doesn't bother me that much. That's more of like a little irk, right? I'm buying this thing. I pre-ordered it the second I could.
So oh, sure.
There's no question of the value of this. And that, I think, is the only question that people really need to be asking, because the biggest... problem I've seen with this, as far as everyone bitching about it online, is, well, the Crash and Spyro both got their full trilogies fully remade with these gorgeous new graphics, and they sold for $40.
Yeah.
Okay. And?
That is a fair point.
It is a good point, but does Activision set Nintendo's pricing now? Like, just because they did it, does that mean everyone has to do it?
No. I mean, they kind of should have. But I mean, whatever.
Me wrong,
but they were going to.
I would love to play these games for $40. I think that would be an amazing
Nintendo
deal.
Was never going to do that.
They were never going to do that. You're right. And also, it's the only question is the only question that's actually important for pretty much any game release, any game release or compilation or whatever it is you're looking at. The only question that's important is, will I get my money's worth out of this game? Like, yes, it would be great if this was cheaper.
Sure.
But are these three games playable on Switch worth $60 to you? For me, that's no question. That's yes, absolutely.
Right.
Would I be happier if they remade all three of these games? If they created that, they just took the Mario Odyssey engine and then remade these three games in that engine, so that it was all running on one engine in this compilation, just like they did with the Crash and the Spyro games. All three games running the same engine. That's how they do it. If they made that work with the Mario games and then released that for $40, would I be happier than I am now? Absolutely,
without question.
But I'm not unhappy because I get to play these three games on my Switch in high definition with my Pro Controller. No, go ahead.
Odyssey, or not Odyssey.
Where's Galaxy 2?
Where is Galaxy 2?
That is a solid question, sir.
It's a weird omission, I feel.
It is, and I'm trying to figure out what the deal is with that, right? Because now that's a game that actually runs on the same engine, right?
Right.
You got Galaxy running. There's no way you don't have Galaxy 2 running on Switch. So what's the deal here? What's the plan? Goes away on March 31st, but that just means but unlike Mario 35, it's still playable after that. It's just not being sold after that point.
Which I think is ridiculous, but
also completely insane. At least you can look at this one and say, I'm pretty sure they're just going to sell these at $20 a pop. I'm pretty sure that just means this specific collection goes away, and then they're just going to throw all three of the games individually on the eShop, probably including Galaxy 2.
Well, and it also is like, you have to buy this now. You're not going to get it used. It's not going to go on sale. If you want this collection, $60. That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
And like, which I think is a little silly. Just from a historical standpoint, I don't love that precedent. I've hated it the entire time Disney did it with their movies, putting stuff in the vault.
Yeah, no, like, I'm 100% with you.
I fucking hate that. Like, that's the kind of shit that encourages piracy.
It is.
Like, you know, now, it just is.
We've had this precedent set before where Nintendo's released things for a limited amount of time and then never did them again.
Sure.
But we're in this era of Nintendo's making a lot of money, and I don't see them looking at these three games in particular and saying, like, well, we have these Mario games up and running on the Switch. We should not sell them anymore.
Right.
That seems like an odd choice. They're fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. So they very well may just be like, no, hard line. This is the end of that. Never getting these games on Switch again, suckers. And then Galaxy 2 is just in the wind. Who knows? But it makes the most sense to me that probably this is a limited time good deal. And then they're going to drop them all. Like, right now it's $60 for these three games. So they'll throw them up on the eShop for $25 a piece or something. For if you didn't jump in at the All-Stars level.
Right. All-Stars level.
So there's other questions that there were. What other questions do you have before I get to mine?
So my question was, I do not like the Mario games. You and I have talked about this extensively on the show. That being said, my daughter wants this collection. Katie wants this. She wants to play through Sunshine because she thinks it looks super weird.
It is super weird.
She wants to play through 64 because there was some meme that she saw and she was like, I want to see if that's actually in there. I was like, okay, whatever. So we're probably going to end up getting this. Not liking Mario the way that I do, I still feel like it is my duty to complete these games at some point. I have never played more than a half hour of 64. I've played less of that than in Sunshine, and I haven't even played Galaxy. So if I were to go back, and Tiff and I were talking about this, of actually going through and doing what you're doing with John, but just me and Tiff, of like playing through the mainline Mario games, should I start with Super Mario All-Stars? The shadow drop that just happened. Is that the route I should go? Because obviously the answer is that I should get this collection and play through 64 Sunshine and Galaxy this way. But to play through...
obviously, because these aren't different flavors. Well, all right, I'll put it to you this way. What have you played of Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3?
I've finished all three of them. like multiple times.
I know you like Mario 2. Now,
Mario 2 is my favorite.
Have you ever played the All-Stars versions?
No, I have not.
Then in that case, I don't love the All-Stars version of Mario 3, but okay. I think you'll love the All-Stars version of Mario 2 because that's the best looking one on there. They added some really great visual touches to that one. So definitely do that. If you wanted to go through the way I'm going through it, like,
I mean, I'm not going with Donkey Kong and like all of that shit.
Yeah. Like if you're going to play Mario Land and Mario Land 2, but
like, no, not even doing that.
Yeah. Like if you're just doing the stuff let's not get crazy here. Yeah. Yeah, I would say go with the All-Stars versions.
Okay.
You know, I don't think you have... I mean, you have Mario 3 on your Switch. I mean, it's just on there, right?
Sure.
It's part of the NES thing. I would definitely, if you want to give Super Mario 1 a swing on All-Stars, it's just a really interesting... Like, don't touch the lost levels. You don't need to. There's nothing there for you. There's nothing there for you. But playing the All-Stars version of Super Mario 1 is a really interesting take because... It gives some context to some of the weird coloration things.
Okay.
Like, oh, that was supposed to be snow. Oh, there's stars in the sky. Okay, like that's kind of neat.
That makes sense.
It does a really good job of kind of artistically bringing that game together. Like, not complaining about the way the original Mario 1 works because it was, you know, we're talking about 1985 game design here. But
sure.
I think the Super Mario All-Stars version of Mario 1 is a really interesting playthrough. I mean, because even if you don't really remember all of Super Mario 1, you still remember the visuals. They're everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Right?
The way that game looks is not in question. So
no, it's iconic and burned into the memories of all of us.
Yeah, so that's great. I think you'll love playing through Mario 2 on All-Stars because it just looks and sounds really cool. But then if you're going to give Mario 3 another go, I'd definitely play the NES version because that game is an 8-bit game. And the Super Nintendo version looks really weird, I think. And it doesn't sound as good either. I just think that game works better in 8-bit. Definitely play Super Mario World. It's one of my favorite games of all time. That game's amazing. And then play Yoshi's Island because also the game's amazing. I suppose you could skip Yoshi's Island if you really wanted to. I don't recommend doing it. If you're going to go through the effort of playing Mario games, really, just marvel at the art direction in that game. It's so crazy.
That's probably what I was going to do, was get to Yoshi's Island, like 1, 2, 3, Super Mario World, Yoshi's Island, and then jump to 64.
Yeah, because once you get past these games, then you're starting to factor in the new Super Mario Brothers games, and I'm not
doing all that.
There's just not much there for you. If anything, the first new Super Mario Brothers on DS is interesting enough. With they did some really neat tricks with that game. It's really simple. It's really straightforward. But I don't know how much if you're doing it to do it. I don't know how much you're going to get out of Mario 64 and Sunshine.
Right.
I just don't. I mean, I would say if you're buying this anyway, the only one you need to play that I think you will actually get something out of is Galaxy.
Right. Because that's really the one I want to play.
Yeah. Sunshine is freaking weird and there's some cool stuff in there, but it's, if you're not a Mario fan, that game's not going to convert you. Right.
Right.
It's 3D Mario with this weird water pack thing. There's some very creative levels in there. It's got some high points, but it's not like...
It's not the best.
Yeah, it's not up to the level of this other stuff. Mario 64, well, one of the reasons I haven't beaten it again is that, like, well, I mean, this birthed 3D platforming effectively, right? This game set the standard for the way things will go forward, but it's also... It's not my thing, you know. I love it and I'll always love it, but I think the games just got, I think 3D Mario games got better from there. And I know a lot of people don't agree with that, but I do think that that formula got perfected once you got to something like Odyssey. Galaxy is its own animal. Like nothing, I've never played anything
Galaxy
that plays
is so interesting to me.
Exactly. Just the way it plays with gravity. I've never played anything quite like it because there aren't just these big sprawling stages. Like there's maybe a couple of things like that, but even those are interspersed with all these weird little tiny planetoids that you just like all right, I'm going to run out here for like a couple of seconds, and then I'm going to beat this thing, and the star is going to show up, and then I'm going to warp to another planet, which has its own gravitational pull. Game's fascinating.
It seems like something I could actually really get into.
I think that there's something. I do think there's something in that game for you.
And the other part of it was that I am interested in Odyssey as well.
A fantastic game.
I do want to, you know, there is a certain amount of desire to want to make my way through that. And also, like I said, just for, you know, if we're going to have a video game podcast, I feel like I should have finished Mario 64. Not that I'm very much looking forward to it, but I feel like it's something I should have done.
Mario 64 is going to be to you what Final Fantasy VII is to me.
I figure. Yeah.
And like, because
I should.
You're
going to
play it and you're going to appreciate the artistry. You're going to appreciate what it's doing, but it's not going to make you happy.
You jump into a painting and get all pissed off and be like, what the fuck? God damn it.
You jump into a painting. That's the best part, right? You jump into a painting and like, ooh, that's neat. And you see a little jiggly painting and everything. And then you start playing. And it's like, okay, what?
Huh?
All right, where am I going? What am I doing? Because you have to play the same level over and over and over again. And I don't know. I will always love Mario 64. It will always be an important game to me. And I'm looking forward to playing it again on a system that's very comfortable for me to play it on.
Right.
But knowing your taste in games and your taste in Mario in general, I don't know what you're going to get out of that other than just it being...
Just frustration is what I'm going to get.
It's definitely a fascinating perspective on where 3D games came from. Like, really just watching the way that game works and comes together is really interesting.
I think it'll make for some good podcasting. I'll probably end up writing something about it, you know, as well, now that I have time to write again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see if I can't get like Polygon to pick it up or something like that. Or Kotaku.
So the thing with this, the missing games, right?
Right.
So we're getting 3D World, which is awesome. That one I also recommend you try.
Sure.
Because that's also a totally different animal. It plays nothing like 64 or 2D Mario games. It is its own thing, which is weird. What's left, because like the original thought that jumps into my head is like, oh, so this is going to be like the Mega Man Anniversary Collection. They're just going to do a Volume 2, right? But they're not going to do a Volume 2 with just two games in it, because those are the only 3D Mario games left. It's 3D Land for 3DS, which I would love to see remastered and playable on television, and Galaxy 2. So do they do a Volume 2 with just those two games in it? That seems a little sparse.
That doesn't seem like worth $60. You can make the argument for three games at $60.
Two games for $60. I don't know. Especially those two. Like, Galaxy 2 is amazing. Galaxy 2, I think, is better than Galaxy 1.
Right.
But 3D Land is not as good as 3D World. 3D World dropping at $60, that makes sense to me. Because that game's not that old. And it's going to be a brand new 3D Mario game for a lot of people. But 3D Land, I don't know, man. That's kind of a weird pick. So the only other thing that comes to mind, which would be a really weird direction to go, but it's what another very vocal part of the internet has been yelling about, like, oh, this should have been Mario 64 DS. Mario 64 DS is a weird animal because it was a remake of Mario 64.
Right.
Like, they redid the game doesn't look like Mario 64. They redid all the graphics and...
I totally forgot about that.
They would have to, like, you know, put in analog control because that's one of the... I don't like Mario 64 DS very much. It kind of made Mario 64 look like a PlayStation game, but a little bit better in some ways, but a little bit not in some other ways. It lost something in that translation for me, and it also plays super weird. Like, you have to play through a bunch of stuff as Yoshi before you even get to Mario.
That's weird.
It is weird, and I didn't like that at all. But it's got, you know, it's got Mario, Luigi, Yoshi, and Wario as playable characters, and like they added a bunch of really interesting stuff to it. But I never finished playing through it because I hated playing through that game on the DS because it was. It was designed to work with either the faux analog stick on the touchscreen, which was no, or the damn D-pad, which
no.
Playing a 3D platformer with a D-pad sucks.
Yeah, it's not great. So, not great.
Yeah, maybe if they did a full-on remaster of that and like really kind of remade that game to work in HD on the Switch, that would be a really cool thing. But would it be a really cool thing since they've already put Mario 64, which is effectively the same game, in the other collection? I don't know where they go from here. I just know that I want to play Mario 3D Land on my TV.
That's all I want.
That's what I want. I want Galaxy 2, which I just have to assume is going to happen at some point. And I would love to be able to play 3D Land on my TV.
All I want is fucking Super Mario Land. I want the Game Boy games remastered, imported. Let me play those on my TV. That's what
Wouldn't
I want.
Wouldn't that be? That would just be marvelous. I would love to see what they even do with a remaster of Super Mario Land. Because that game is so bizarre. It plays so... like, you'd have to change the way it plays. Because if you made
it's
it
so
play
weird.
Just like Super Mario Land, but fixed the graphics, then it wouldn't work. Because the game kind of doesn't play very well, you know? It's really chunky. It's got weird gravity. But I love it. I love it to death. I love that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, man.
It's just so fucking strange. I would love to, I want it. I love them to pieces.
Yeah, Mario Land and Mario Land 2, even just playing through those games was just a ball just recently. I really liked both of those games, especially the first one. And I know it is objectively not a better game than Mario Land 2, but
sure.
I'm such a fan of Hip Tanaka's soundtrack and how freaking strange that game is. It just does it for me. For all the superficial reasons, it doesn't matter. I just think it's great.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, I'm a happy guy. I
can imagine.
That's what I will say about this Mario Direct. I thought it was a home run, but not a grand slam.
It's super close.
Yeah, there were just a couple of things that held it back from being the absolute amazing perfectness that it should be. But the fact that Mario 64 is not a full-on remake is not one of the things that bothers me. I'm happy that they're sticking with that specific flavor of this game. Because while as much as I'd love a full remake of Mario 64, I also think it's really cool to be able to play this original version on TV. Now, of course, the answer to that is to do what games like Wonder Boy did and just have both versions on there.
Just let me do both. Let me switch back and forth. But again, that is not what Nintendo does.
That is not the Nintendo way. Nintendo's going to Nintendo for better or worse. And I know there's a lot of angry people. People just letting them off the hook for this crap because they're Nintendo. It's like, well, I'm not letting them off the hook for it because they're Nintendo. They're not on the hook in the first place because they're presenting me with something that I perceive to be an excellent value.
Right.
Those three games at $60 with the convenience of playing them in HD on my Switch is worth $60. And at the end of the day, that is the only thing that matters.
Yeah. And if it's not worth $60 to you, don't buy it. You don't have to.
You really don't have to. Now, granted, you would say vote with your dollars, but this, as of today, is apparently the second best-selling game on Amazon of 2020 is this collection.
Yeah.
That's insane. Like, the first best was Animal Crossing. We all knew that because that game, you know, COVID just kind of took over at the right time. Yeah. But the fact that this is already it hasn't even come out yet, and it's the second best-selling game of the year across all platforms, that's bananas.
That's pretty huge. Pretty huge.
Nintendo's making out pretty well this year, all things considered. And I really hope... this is another thing that's kind of bothering me about Mario 64. Mm-hmm. It seems that they may have changed one of the voiceovers in it, like they did in the DS game. And it's when Mario throws Bowser, and like the internet decided it was "so long, gay Bowser." And it's just, you know, him saying it with a weird accent. "So long, gay Bowser."
Right.
And it doesn't, in the trailer, he threw Bowser and he said something like "bye bye," which, I mean, that's still cute, but it's not Mario 64. Don't take that away from me.
don't take that away. I was watching that.
I like that. All right. I feel good. I'm in a good place, which is to say that there's no better time to start talking about Contraforce. We're going to take ourselves a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about that game that you all made us play.
For like a minute, because otherwise this is going to be another 7 hours of just anger.
You know what? And it is my fault. I put it up. It was my choice for the vote. But I was very interested to play it. And
yeah.
You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekate.com. Stick around.
Stick around and strap in.
Are you enjoying the podcast you're listening to right now? Of course you are. But did you know that it's just one part of an entire network of geek-related goodness? Geekade.com is your one-stop shop for fresh original content no matter what your geek is. Each week you'll find articles and podcasts about comic books, horror movies, X-Men, music, video games, music in video games, Transformers, anime, TV shows, tabletop gaming, wrestling, beer, and more. And hey, if you want to help us create even more original content, please consider supporting us on Patreon. That's available at patreon.com/geekade. What's your geek?
Geekade is looking for some partners. If you have something you'd like to advertise on any of our podcasts, our powerful overlords are ready to talk to you. Send your proposal to mail@geekade.com with the words podcast ads in the subject line, and our diligent army of trained ants will put you in touch with the head of our advertising department. With a weekly audience that reaches well into the dozens, Geekade is the perfect place to get your ads into the ears of the right people. Once again, that's mail@geekade.com. Send your ad in today.
And we're back. Our summer series is going strong, and you guys voted for us to play Contraforce for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
And I gotta be honest, we're not gonna let you vote next year. We're just picking the games, you dicks.
Like I said before, it's my fault. This was my pick because I've always wanted to give it a solid shot. Right? It's a Contra game.
Sure.
It's an old Contra game.
But it isn't.
At a certain point, at that point in time, old Contra games weren't bad games. The series had a real reputation for being good games.
This is not one of them.
This is not one of them. But it is a very interesting game. So this was not actually a Contra game by birth. This was supposed to be a game called Arc Hound for the NES.
Arc Hound.
Which watching the remainder of this game on YouTube, because I'll be damned if I'm spending another minute actually playing the thing. It's pretty obvious why. It's obvious why it wound up as a Contra game, because there's a lot about the way this game looks and sounds and plays that's very Contra. But at the same time, it's not.
No, and so not only was this a game that was supposed to be called Arc Hound to be released in Japan, it was a game called Arc Hound that was canceled in Japan, yet still released over here as Contraforce.
It was released here as Contraforce and threw off like the whole numbering of the franchise, right?
Right, because this was supposed to be the third one.
Yeah.
And then they were going to call
Contra 3 Contra 4.
Yeah.
And then this got delayed until 92. So Contra 3 came out before this. And can you imagine being back then and playing this after playing Contra 3?
Oh, my God. This game is such a horrible, broken piece of shit.
I called this the Shadow of the Colossus, the Contra franchise, not because of its quality, because that's not even close.
No,
but because the ambition of this game does not match the platform it was created for.
I mean, it doesn't. But the actual playing through of this game. So here's the thing, kids. If you haven't played through Contraforce, Okay.
Which, like most people, is probably you haven't, because you this game is kind of rare. This is one of them. This is a rare NES game, not by rare. It is an uncommon NES game.
Right. And if you pay money for this, you need to have your fucking head examined. Like, somebody should be giving you money to do this. Like,
unless it's
suckers.
Just purely for collecting purposes. That is where the line must be drawn, right?
Even then, I disagree. You got to standards.
People pay stupid money for worse games than this.
Do they, though? I mean, do they, though?
But also, now that I'm saying it, those people should also have their heads examined.
So. They really fucking should. So
a loose copy of this is averaging around $98 right now. $416.
Fuck you. Fuck the horse you rode in on. Fuck the vet who okayed that horse to go on a long distance ride. That, whatever the name of the person is who applies horseshoes, fuck that guy too. So here's the thing about this game. Is that literally everything you do, once you select your character, which is also broken, because. So you hit start, and if you don't hit start, you watch the fucking intro movie, which is supposed to come before the starts, whatever. Once you hit start, you're presented with the four different characters. You could pick Burns and fucking, Beans was one of the other one, because it's the 90s, so of course his name was fucking Beans with his shitty hair. And you think, like, you start off on the one guy, and you want to move to the right to look at the guy next to him. Well, in order to move to the right, you got to push up, because that's how fucking controllers work. Apparently, we push up. And we
yeah,
go
that
to the
weird
right.
That character slip screen really pissed me off. I mean, why can't it wait? What?
Right from jump, you're like, I should have known. I should have known right there. Like, this isn't going to be.
This
great.
Shit's already broken.
Have already fucked this up. This is incredible. Anyway,
you say you guys. The people who programmed this game are the people who programmed Castlevania 3 Dracula's Curse. I can only imagine they finished the technical marvel that is that game and then said, you know what? We can do anything.
You know what? We're fucking high. We're coked out. We've been working on this shit for... And then they just did this in a weekend. Because once you select character... Literally anything you do from that point forward causes slowdown.
Mm-hmm.
Literally everything.
Just about everything.
Shoot a bullet, slowdown. Jump, slowdown.
Slowdown.
Hit pause, because in this game, a neat idea is that you can call in somebody to cover you for like 5 or 6 seconds. A computer-controlled ally. Neat idea. Slowdown. Destructible environment, blow that up, slows it down even more. 2 or 3 enemies on the screen, fucking slow down. And then when no enemies are there, it speeds up a little bit. And then somebody shows up, slows right the fuck back down.
Mm-hmm.
And like the weird
the game
way
doesn't work.
No, it just doesn't, because like the other weird thing about it is that the like so you're gonna die a lot in this game. Okay, like I made it through a level and a half.
Right? Of course you're going to die. It's a Contra game. But right. Not for the reasons you think.
But not for these reasons, because, like, so you're running and you die, right? So then you get up. Like, in the very first level, there's a section at the beginning of the level where there's some pistons that come down from the top, right? So you're running to the right, and if you get hit by one of the pistons, and you're going to, because, again, slow down, when you respawn, you're invincible for a second. So you run a little bit forward, like we all do in video games. You have that brief moment of invincibility while your character is flashing. But the game doesn't sync on the character the right way. So if you end up at the right-hand side of the screen before your character, like as your character is coming back to life and now your hitbox is working, it syncs to you on the right-hand side of the screen. So as you're moving, you've got this giant expansive screen to your left, and you can't see what the fuck is in front of you, because that's where it is synced up to.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. There's this point about halfway through the screen where that's where the camera's supposed to start moving with you. But if you die at any point, if you go past that point and you die and you respawn past that point, it no longer starts to scroll until you get toward the end of the screen.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because I thought several times that I had died and then the screen stopped scrolling. So I'm going to keep running forward because that means that I'm moving on to a new area, right? Because that means to me, that's the end of the level. But then you get to the edge of the screen, it starts inching forward, and then you instantly die from something that spawns at the edge of the screen that you're supposed to be able to see because you're supposed to be in the middle of the screen.
Right.
But the game's broken.
So you have to run back through the thing that killed you to get back to the center of the screen to then run back through the fucking thing again to get the screen to scroll with you.
Here's something I learned earlier today. You can blow up the pistons.
Can you?
Yeah, just shoot them. You
Son
have to
of
shoot
a bitch.
Where they come from, the top part there. You can just blow them up.
A
Same
neat
thing
idea.
With the fans a little bit later, those fans in the floor.
I shot those by accident, but I realized you could.
Yeah, I didn't realize that one. But yeah, earlier today, I was just shooting all kinds of stuff and shot one of the pistons. Like, you got to be fucking kidding me. So I shot all the pistons, walked right through. I was like, okay. Because the first time I tried to make it through there, the timing didn't match up.
No,
there
it doesn't.
There was no way to get through it without dying. And I was just completely confused because I've played Contra before. You can't blow up the pistons in any other Contra game.
No, you can't. You can't.
So naturally, it never occurred to me to even try to shoot the pistons.
Why would you?
Because why would I? There's nothing on the screen that indicates they can be exploded.
I mean, this would have been, at the time, the fourth Contra game you had played. And nothing that you can do in this game was doable in any of the other Contra games. And I doubt that was something that was covered in the instruction manual.
No, definitely not.
If I'm going to make a bet here, like I would bet a dollar on that. It was not covered in the fucking instruction manual, but it's just such a horrifically broken game.
But it is a horrifically broken game with some very interesting Contra-like ideas. Like you said, the whole thing about you can call a partner in. That's pretty
super
wild.
Cool. And you can switch between those partners.
You can. At any point, you can, like, if you're about to get a game over, right, you have three lives, right? So you get down to your last life, all you have to do is go into that character select screen, and then you can pick another character who also has two lives.
Yeah.
So you start over again and then continue from there. That's a pretty neat way of going at it. I also didn't understand the weapon system at first, which...
It's very, like Gradius-like.
Yeah, right.
Say.
You get these Gradius little attaché cases, and they kind of move a little cursor across the bottom, and each different character you pick has different kinds of weapons that they can use.
Which all cause slowdown.
All horrifically slow down. But I just wanted a fucking spread gun, because it's Contra.
That's all I want.
That's all I wanted, which would have slowed the game down even more, but
Why does my projectile only go like a fourth of the screen over? It's
now,
fucking stupid.
Got this game on cartridge way back when I worked at Funko Land, right?
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing it on the newspapers being like, there's a third Contra game for NES? That's insane. But it was one of the most expensive NES games at the time at Funko Land on the little newspaper. I eventually tracked down a copy. So it's the copy I still have, just the cart and the manual, no box. And I remember playing it for a few seconds when I first got it and being like, what the fuck is this? This is not Contra. And
how dare you?
What's so weird, like, yeah, the characters are all these dumb looking dudes with no shirts on, but they don't look like Lance and whatnot, or what the hell's the other one? Bill and Lance. Bill Reiser and Lance Bean. So of course there's a character named Bean.
Billy and Jimmy.
Bimmy and Jimmy, yeah.
Bimmy and Jimmy.
But there's this also weird kind of perspective thing going on.
Yeah.
Your character always looks like he's leaning toward the screen a little bit.
Yeah, there's...
Which is, like, he's not feet on the ground. It's not looking straight at the side. It's like the whole game's looking straight at the side, except your character is, like, leaning toward the screen the whole time.
And with his weird run animation does not help that either.
Doesn't at all. But then on top of that, you get to the very human boss characters, and they're twice your size for no reason at all.
He really, really was. I was like, what the fuck is that? What
is
happening?
This guy's rolling, and he's as tall as me when he's rolling around, like, trying to dodge. What the hell was that about?
It's so fucking weird.
That was just completely insane. And that's all the bosses. Because, like I said, I finished watching a playthrough after I gave up on playing this game again earlier today, right before the show. I watched a playthrough, and there's some crazy ass Contra ideas going on. There's a whole top down level where you're walking from plane to plane.
Yeah.
That's a contrast level if I ever saw one. But
it is. And like that, the fucked up thing is that it's level 2 and 4 are the top down levels. 1, 3, and 5 are side scrolling. And side scrolling is horrifically broken. Levels 2 and 4, barely any slowdown. Works great.
No, hold on, I don't go that far.
Well, I mean, maybe not that. But comparatively speaking,
technically functions. It's about as far as I would be willing to go on there, but just, still.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah, really. This was not a completed game.
No, it's just not. It's just not done.
Which is a shame, because it really does come down to ambition over executability. Like, there are things they wanted to do on this game that just wouldn't work on the NES, but they would have been really cool on the Super Nintendo or the Genesis. Like, that whole stage where you're walking from plane to plane, that's the kind of stupid Contra that Contra was kind of known for at a certain point, right? In Contra 3, you're riding missiles and whatnot around. Like,
yeah, some really weird, out there kind of shit.
There was some cool, stupid stuff going on in this game, and it just wasn't capable of functioning on the NES, at least not being programmed this way. Like, I can't help but feel like this game didn't need to run as poorly as it did.
We've
seen interesting stuff happen on the NES before. The NES could be pushed a little bit better than this. But like Shadow of the Colossus, ran like dirt on PS2.
It did.
But it didn't have to run like that much dirt on the PS2. We've seen what the PS2 could do in capable hands.
Right.
And those were not capable hands. They were amazing at crafting a game. They just weren't amazing at making it work.
Yeah, the technical aspect of it, like the programming, coding, making that all smooth, like that's where they fucked up, you know. Yeah. And here too, but that's so strange, knowing now that the team that made Castlevania 3 also made this horrific pile of garbage. It was delayed for a year. Like, it was a year later than it was supposed. It was supposed to come out in 1991. Came out like at the end of 1992.
But here's my thought: I can just about guarantee that those aren't the two that finished programming this game.
I mean, probably
this is
not.
Probably where it was when it got canceled.
Yeah,
and then it was sent
that's
over to like
true.
Konami of America to ditz around with. I don't know what happened, but I can't help but feel like these guys were not on it to the end. They're the only ones credited, but there's not very many people credited on this game to begin
with.
I will say the music and the sound were 100% Konami, and that was really cool.
That
music
that part
was pretty
was,
decent.
That was the best part of the game. Like,
sound
honestly.
Effects were pure Contra and just a little dash of Top Gun, like on that plane level when the planes get close.
Yeah, it was.
That's the plane sound from Top Gun,
yeah,
another
was.
Konami joint. So.
Oh man, I was so angry playing through. Like, I thought, and this is how dumb I am sometimes. I'm sitting here and I'm playing this game, you know, emulated on my computer, and I was like, all right, like, first of all, I know it's not my computer that's fucking slowing down, because I can emulate PS2 games on here. This is a Nintendo game. So do I just have like a bad rip of this game? You know, like, is that a thing that can happen? And no, it can't. It's not a thing that can happen with an emulated game. Just like, my goodness, man.
Apparently it can, but that's not what's happening to you.
Yeah, not like this. Like, this is just so like, I went and like tried to find another copy, and like along that path found some reviews of like, no, it's not just you. We promise this is just the game. It's like, God damn it, man.
I was half expecting you to send me a what's it like the end credits screen like you have been doing for this game.
No, level and a half, and I tapped out.
I was glad to hear that, because that's where I stopped too, because at a certain point I just feel like I'm wasting my time. Like, okay, I've played two levels of this. I know what this has to offer, and all it has to offer is frustration and slowdown. I'm just going to watch the rest of it and call it a day, because this is not worth anyone's time.
I barely even watched it. Like, I put on a video to watch the rest of it, and I half paid attention to the video. Like, that is how disinterested. I was so disappointed. You
right?
know, like, there's certain
this
things.
This is classic Contra. This should be good stuff. Not
this is Contra on the NES. You know, and there is an expectation. Like, that's where Konami fucked up, because if this game was called Arkhound, nobody would care.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been on our list. You know what I mean? It's on our list because it's fucking called Contra. So there's just, when you put that name on it, there's an expectation. Even taking away, like, the weird alien aspects of Contra and whatnot. Like, okay, I can see where you want to move the franchise forward a little bit, but then, like, your next game was the Alien War, whatever. You know, like, I can kind of understand, like, even as an offshoot, like, okay, but you put that name on something, and it just has... There's just a level of expectation, you know, like if there's a new Quentin Tarantino film coming out, like it says Quentin Tarantino presents, like your high school production of whatever, well, then I don't want to fucking watch that because it's my high school production of Oklahoma, and goddammit, I want to see what Quentin Tarantino's Oklahoma is like. Can you imagine Quentin Tarantino's Oklahoma? Oklahoma, motherfucker, God, you know, can't even get through the first word of the song. A bunch of people start. So anyway, I started blasting.
Boy, that went places, huh?
I'm tired. Sorry.
No, it was amazing. It went to great places. I did not expect that. That particular tirade to end with Quentin Tarantino's Oklahoma.
Tell me you wouldn't watch that shit, though. Like, aren't you excited about it right
immediately.
Now?
Immediately. Sounds without question. Awesome.
Sounds so good.
Well, I mean, I don't have anything else to say about this turd.
No, fuck this. Fuck this and fuck all of you. That's what I have to say, you bunch of jerks.
All right, well, we've got one round of this left.
Oh, God damn it.
It seems to me that both of these options should be good ones, okay? This is Dan's pick, Lord of the Sword for the Sega Master System, versus my pick, Klonoa Empire of Dreams for the Game Boy Advance.
Okay. I do love me some Klonoa games.
I've never played one, and I hear really good things about them. I also heard this GBA one's pretty darn good.
I have heard the same as well.
I'm also always happy to play a Master System game, so yeah. This should be interesting. Over here on Discord, we've got Ferg said, Lord of the Sword, please. He was the first one.
Well, then we have to. I don't think it really matters.
Janich87 said, Klonoa. Nintendo Mike, he said, Lord of the Rings and the Fellowship of the Sword. So I assume that's a vote for Lord of the Sword.
Yes.
And then Ferg said, I don't think voting twice was going to help. So that's, let's see, two for Lord of the Sword and one for Klonoa. So let's see what's going on over on Facebook. Loading it up. Loading it up. Anytime now.
Anytime.
Hello? Hello, Facebook? We still in here? Is still a thing? You gonna explode? Oh, hey, here we are. And we're back.
Welcome.
Let's open up to the Stone Age. You've got mail.
Fucking connecting through Prodigy. That's your problem, Chris.
Yeah, that's the
issue.
Ran out of AOL discs.
Damn it, I'm out of minutes.
So this actually... It actually published the poll,
huh?
Which is weird because you can't do polls on Facebook anymore.
No,
since they changed over to the new flavor, but it still published my old ones, which was neat. So at least I got through this one. I can't do other polls anymore, at least not this way. But let's see, how did it do? Because it's displaying all funky. So we had, let's take a look at the votes. And the winner is Klonoa, Empire of Dreams.
That surprises me, actually.
Yeah, it was, let's see, we had, oh, come on, give me those numbers. 35% for Lord of the Sword, 65% for Klonoa. Not a terrible ratio there, but there it is. So the last game of our summer series is a Game Boy Advance Klonoa game, Klonoa Empire of Dreams. I'm glad this shook out the way that it did because it's. I don't think either of these was going to be a bad choice.
No, so. I don't think so either. Like I am endlessly fascinated about the Zelda 2 comparisons to Lord of the Sword.
Hmm. Well, we'll have to throw that up for voting next year in Or maybe we'll just pick everything.
We are picking everything. God damn it. So that way you can, like, you can suggest some shit to me, like Contra Force. Be like, really? Come on. What are you doing? Wrong. To be fair, I've picked shit too. Like Crystallis, but I really thought we were going to like that one.
Yeah, I had a feeling we were going to like a fucking NES Contra game. How was I supposed to know, right?
That's not, because that's the other part about this too. Like, we don't look up reviews first.
Yeah, neither of us picked games we didn't think we were going to like, right? Like, that's the whole point. These are games that I feel like we should have played. Now, granted, I did pick Surf Ninjas, but that was hilarious.
Thankfully, our listeners did not make us do that.
I'm sad. Surf Ninjas looks amazing.
I mean, amazing is a very strong word.
I mean, it's not necessarily a good word.
No, that's fair.
Tell me you would not have been amazed at least once while playing Surf Ninjas for the Game Gear.
I probably would have.
All right, that's our show. Join us next time when Dan and I will finish the summer series with Klonoa for Game Boy Advance. The Stone Age Gamer Podcast is a part of Geekade.com. We're on most social media platforms, and if you want to get in touch with us, we aren't very difficult to find. All it takes is a quick look at our show notes, and you'll see links to our social media accounts, as well as all manner of other fun stuff, like a link to our namesake, StoneAgeGamer.com, the Geekade Patreon, which helps keep this show running week after week, and more useful links than you can shake a joystick at. This show's theme song, Squared Roots, was written by Banjo Guy Ollie. You can learn all about his wonderful music and more by following the link to his YouTube channel, also in the show notes. And finally, as always, we'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making this show listenable for all you folks, and we'd like to thank all you folks for listening in the first place. That's it, everybody. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.